wena re wetse jalo mo Water Wednesday e tlisang jalo ka ditebogo go wena ke setlamo sa metsi sa Midval Water me moeng wa ka batsatsi la gompieno jaana ke Karen Bosman ene e le founder ebile gape e le CEO ya CB Sustainable Solutions. Re tle go ka lebelela jalo the road traversed by CB Sustainable Solutions in the water sector o se santse a le teng fa mogaleng fa Karen me re ga nako e tsama fa ke tle ke mo amogele jalo re tle re tsene jalo mo puisanong ya rona ya letsatsi le ke tsana go e tla go leboga gongwe le gongwe fela kwa go tsa mo station se o ka tswa jalo o le e gone. Karen, good afternoon and thanks very much for taking time and talking to us.
Good afternoon, Dr. Bloken. Thank you very much for having me on your excellent Water Wednesday show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Karen, you've been a force in South Africa's water sector for over 30 years. Take us back to the beginning and what sparked your journey from water chemist in the old Department of Water Affairs to founding Karen Bosman Sustainable Solutions in 2007. What was the water sector like when you started out?
So, you know, my journey in water actually started way, way younger. Before that, when I was in primary school, I think in grade seven or something, we had to do a school project.
Uh-huh.
And I chose water, and it just fascinated me. Like, you know, this is a very simple liquid. We use it every day. We need it every day, but it is so interesting. And so then in my high school, whenever there was a project that you could choose what to do, I chose to do something about water.
Mm-hmm.
I built a papier-mâché hydroelectric scheme when I was in grade 10 one time that worked and actually made electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess then that my interest, I always wanted to do something that makes a difference in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, what do you do? Scientist, veterinary, doctor, but I guess the pulse, the water flows and it takes you where it wants to take you. And the water was just part of me growing up as a child. You know, my grandparents had a farm and was always, how much is it rain? Because that will determine how much money we have extra to do things and to pay people and how water influences the economy. It was part of growing up. And so, having studied chemistry and really falling in love with the chemistry of mm-hmm. water, that got me involved in working in water from a scientific perspective. And then later on, throughout my career, I quickly realized you cannot stand next to a river and tell the river, "Hey, improve your quality." To improve the quality of a river, you need to talk to people and you need to change the behavior of people mm-hmm. in order to change the quality of the water, which in turn will benefit the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so from being just a scientist interested in the chemistry, I became more and more interested in the socioeconomics of it and then specifically the social concerns and issues. And, you know, when I started working, I worked for both the old and new South African governments.
Yeah.
But by the time we started working back in 94, only about 10% of the people in the country had access to what we call basic water supply.
Mm.
And to deal with that backlog, to make sure that people get potable water within at least walking distance from their houses was a huge challenge and a huge effect. And you know, if we think about everything, every single thing we do needs water or affects water. Even listening to the radio is something that uses water, because water is used in the generation of the electricity of which you are sending the signal to your listener. The only activity I can think of that don't need water is sleeping, but even when you go to bed, you have a glass of water next to your bed because you get thirsty in the night. Nothing we do don't need water.
Exactly. One of the highlights often mentioned is your role in helping initiate the Blue Drop and Green Drop programs. Can you tell our listeners what made those programs such game-changing, or rather game-changers for water and wastewater management in municipalities? And secondly, how proud are you of that contribution today?
Oh, sure. You know, that was a discussion a long time ago, me and the guy who later took over the implementation, Dr. Leonardo Manes. He's currently in charge of City of Cape Town, bulk water supply. But we were sitting together in a workshop, and at that stage, you know, the only tool that was really available was to charge somebody criminally or make them pay a fine if they don't comply with the legislation, if they send bad quality water down the river. And I had this conversation with many people and said, you know, having somebody pay a fine, sending somebody to prison, that doesn't change the situation. The people still get poor water quality. You just take one actor out of the system. What we need to change is the entire mindset. Mm. And we need to not use a stick approach, but rather a reward approach. And so the idea was born to give municipalities that perform well a reward. Now, originally we wanted to call it the blue drop and brown drop for water supply blue and sanitation brown, but that people said, now people won't think of brown drops as a award, let's change it to green drop for the sewage works that perform well. And so the blue drop, green drop system was born. And it did really have an effect, because in order to get municipalities to spend money on bulk water supply, in order to get municipalities to spend money on improved sanitation infrastructure and to give people, you know, those services, politicians, they have very short lives. They are 5 years, then we have new elections. We have 5 years, and then they have new elections. So you need to have a more longer term. So what makes them proud as a politician is, oh, I have this building named after me, or, oh, I achieved, while I was the MEC, we achieved Green Drop. And so we changed the political message by linking an award, something that the municipalities in any case are supposed to spend money on, but didn't spend the money on. And creating the award changed the motivation. Ah, now we're going to spend money on water supply and sanitation because we can get an award for it. And it's really a stiff competition. So immensely proud of, you know, being part of the birth of the concept. It's still early years, and unfortunately one of these earlier ministers we had, canned the project for a few years. We only reinitiated it after 2022, but we can already see that it has an extremely positive effect, and that people are striving for, you know, please let us get this and this in place, because we want green drop, we want blue drop.
Star FM 102.9 megahertz for that very brighter side of you. Water Wednesday, it is on Jalaka Ditebogo Kogwe next to Mosamitsi, sa Midval Memweng Waka, ki Karen Bosman, founder and CEO of CB Sustainable Solutions. Rebuisana jale ne ka the road traversed by CB Sustainable Solutions in the water sector. Karen, your consultancy has worked across government, 2, private sector, and 3, civil society. What would you say is the single most satisfying achievement or project that CBSS has delivered in the water governance space over the past 18 years?
Oh, sure. You know, there are so many. But I think when you know, one of our very first projects was to assist the community up in the higher parts of Northwest, lower parts of Limpopo province, whose water supply was affected by nearby mining activities, to assist them to actually re-establish their water supply, and especially at the primary school where the kids' drinking water was severely affected by the mining activities, with very, very high nitrate levels, and those kind of nitrate levels will make the kids sluggish and not perform well in academics and not perform well in sport. And changing the water supply made those kids just shine, and it's extremely satisfying to then go and visit the school, and where you previously saw tired kids, you all of a sudden just changing the water, and the place is full of happy running kids. That is something that I don't think I'll ever forget. Other accomplishments, I think the you know, being elected as a senior fellow of the Water Institute of Southern Africa, which is something I never expected would happen to me, because I am possibly too outspoken for the for the establishment. I speak my mind and I say a thing is wrong when it's wrong, and that's not always taken so well. So that was more of a surprise, I think, but also, I guess, an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I was I received a letter from the previous minister, Dr. Khader Asmal, personally from him to me, to congratulate me with the way in which we handled the potential waste crisis in KwaZulu-Natal in the early 2000s, and that letter is framed against my wall. And you know, trying to bring innovation, trying to bring digital revolution. The water sector is hard to adapt. You know, it's a slow moving sector, and to bring people into the 21st century and bringing fourth industrial revolution things in. And then also, I think, to bring ethics into water management, because there is such a lot of people who you know, try and take a shortcut or try and make a quick buck, and then we end up with people, if you take the Hammanskraal, the cholera in Hammanskraal as an example, it was somebody who was just totally corrupt and who didn't get caught in the established systems, and then people died as a result of cholera because this guy was so super corrupt. And so to get integrity back into water management decision making, from the smallest decisions to the large tender awards, I think that's also where I'm trying to make a difference.
Thanks very much for that comprehensive response. You've mentioned revolution. Having mentioned that, you've embraced the fourth industrial revolution with innovations like the Liguan software as a service platform. How is technology changing the way we manage water in South Africa? And two, what excites you most about where this is heading?
Oh, technology can really change. You know, when you have a specific challenge, water challenge, there's got this and these and these contaminants, and you need to purify it that people can drink it, and so you have to remove all those contaminants. Previously, it would take decades of research of every single contaminant and how can we remove it, and now we can use the whole vastness of internet knowledge and ask one of your AI agents who can go and source your information of something somebody did way up in Norway, and immediately we can say, oh, maybe that can work here, or oh, it won't work here because Norway has got a lot of water and we don't. So we have the access to the information now readily available at our fingertips. That's extremely exciting. And then also, you know, to bring it back to what I said, that you know, you can't just be a scientist, you have to bring it to the people. People understand memes and they understand short videos. And so to make data visible, and that's all part of our Lego One project as well, is to take an Excel spreadsheet with rows and rows of numbers that nobody can make sense of and turn that into a picture, into a graph, into something visual that people can say, oh, I see, this is what we need to do, because, yeah, it's in a picture speaks a thousand words. And the more we see technology advancement, the better data visualization, I think, we will see, and that will lead to better water management decision making.
Thank you once more. I think you and me, as well as our listeners, knows very well that the water sector in South Africa is tough, from aging infrastructure and sewage spills to enforcement challenges. What have been some of the biggest professional or personal challenges you and your team have faced, and how did you push through them?
Oh, yeah, Papa Block, did you go read up in deep history? You know, I was almost fired by both old and new South Africa. And it's actually how I got the funding to initiate my business in 2008, was because I won an unfair dismissal case because of the fact that my manager didn't really like the recommendations I was making, and tried to get rid of me. And oh man, it was really tough. There was some all kinds of investigations and allegations, but none of it could be proven. And so I know there's many government officials that can tell you the same story. It's all over the newspapers. You try to be a whistleblower, and the system will come and bite you.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who are facing those decisions, I have one answer and one answer only, and it is you only have one name. I only have Karen Bosman. That's my name. And my name is only as good as my last decision. And if I make a decision to please somebody, or if I make a decision to not get in trouble, I lose my name. I lose my integrity.
Mm.
And even if you lose your job, make the right decisions. Expose the corruption. Because it's not as bad as it sounds. You will be able, if you have a good name, to get back on your feet and to make it work. Don't be scared. Don't be scared of those big systems that will eat you up if you stand up for truth. You stand for the truth, you will prevail.
Uh-huh. In other words, don't be demoralized.
Don't be demoralized. Don't be intimidated. You become the intimidator. You tell them, if you do this, I will go there and I will go call the public protector. Because if it's not me to expose it, who's going to do it then? There's going to be nobody else. The onus rests on me as a responsible South African citizen to every day act in the best interest of all my fellow South Africans, even if it costs me my job.
Thank you once more. Many South Africans, Karen, are deeply worried about water security, with failing municipal systems and pollution making headlines almost weekly. From your vantage point, what are the most critical water governance failures we are still battling today?
Governance failures rest on so many levels, and sometimes it's embedded into our municipal system. You know, people often use the word decolonization. Now, we basically, our government system that we have, we've largely inherited from the previous colonizers, from the British systems. And they don't always necessarily work as good as we want them to work in an African context, because they come from the assumption that everybody has already equal access to services. And that, you know and I know, is simply not true. So, inherent in the system lies the potential for failure. And I think it's not just in water governance, but in other areas of governance maybe as well. And that, you know, from both within the system where I was, as well as from outside of the system, if the system is the cause of the failure, we must work very hard to change the system. Because often what is a governance failure is a systemic failure, it's an institutional failure. And slowly but surely, by fixing the institutions, we will fix the governance problem.
Mm-hmm.
But we've now been, you know, problems like this don't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
They take a long time to build up, and they take a long time to fix. And you can't dismantle a system and just say, let's start with a new system, because then everything will fall flat. So you have to have a systemic, well-planned, long-term approach to say, step by step by step, in 10 years from now, this is how we will change the governance failures. And when we come across a problem, like we came across, for example, with the tender allocation at the Rooiwal sewage works, then we need to say, guys, this failure happened. What are we going to do to prevent this failure from happening again? What can we implement and put in place as a roadblock or as a barrier to prevent this kind of failure from reoccurring?
Karen, you are known for being outspoken, Jay can prat as Jay Val, and passionate about making noise when necessary. How, if I may ask, how important has building partnerships and sometimes challenging the status quo been to the success of CEB Sustainable Solutions?
Oh, absolutely critical. I mean, I firmly believe that that we cannot do this alone, and that we need to collaborate with like-minded people. That, you know, I always talk about the rules of eating elephants, and you know, most people know the first rule: you eat the elephant one bite at a time. But there are a second rule to elephant eating as well, and that is: you can't eat the elephant alone. You need the whole village to eat the elephant with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that community of collaboration, the community of people who understands and who are like-minded and who can help you build. I studied as a chemist. I am not a microbiologist. I am not a geologist. I'm studied as a chemist. I can't always do everything, but I have contacts and collaborators. This one is a microbiologist. This one is an aquatic technologist. And I call on them and say, hey, we have this problem. What would you recommend? How can we solve this? So build your network with people who can eat the elephant with you, and find like-minded people who will say, all right, together we will battle this this hill, and together we will bride this elephant and eat it.
Mm-hmm. You run highly regarded training courses on water governance. Why is building skills and knowledge in this area so vital right now? And what message do you have for young professionals wanting to enter the water and environmental sector?
You know, I firmly believe that knowledge, that you don't lose knowledge by sharing it. You gain. And so sharing your knowledge, sharing what you know with young people, for me, is absolutely critical.
Uh-huh.
Not only does it keep me young, interacting with younger people when I do my training courses, I always learn something from my
them.
Students.
Uh-huh.
You know, new things that they came across or that they came up with. And so learning and teaching is a two-way street. It's not that I'm the teacher and you learn from me. I also learn from my students. And so it's a collaborative process. And my advice for young guys, you know, maybe if you are in school, or maybe you just go into university or into an artisanship, every single thing that you learn is knowledge that nobody can take away from you. Learn as much as you can. Talk to people who've worked a long time in the business. Ask them the tricks of the trade. Even if it's just a conversation over a coffee or a tea, you learn something, and then you make it your own. And then you teach others what you've learned, because that's how we improve as humanity, is by sharing knowledge with others and gathering knowledge from others.
True. The water crisis can feel overwhelming at times. What keeps you motivated on the tough days when projects move slowly or systematic issues seem insurmountable, and how do you maintain hope for South Africa's water future?
You know, I get a lot of hope from the young guys that come to my training courses, because they are so enthusiastic. They are in their 20s, early 30s, and they want to do the right thing. And they might not have the knowledge, but they have the passion. And I see that young people with the passion, as long as you have the passion and you want to make a difference, then you give hope to others. And it comes back to what I always say to people about the water cycle. One raindrop isn't enough. But put all the little raindrops together, and all of a sudden you have a cloud. And then you make that cloud super saturated with sunlight, and then you have a rainstorm. And so every time, you know, you lose hope, or you feel, oh, this is too big and too overwhelming, and go outside, lie with your back on the grass and look at the clouds. And just think of how many millions of raindrops it took to build that cloud. And that your little effort will result in a rainstorm somewhere. You just need to keep absorbing the sunlight and keep flying, and that rain will come. So, yeah, maybe change might not 100% be fully realized within my lifetime, but it will certainly be in the next generations and in the next generations. And it's incremental. Every small positive difference we make builds up to a large forward moving wave of renewal and of change.
Looking ahead, Karen, what is the bold vision for CB Sustainable Solutions over the next 5 to 10 years? Where do you see the greatest opportunities for transformation in Africa's water sector? And What legacy do you hope to build through your work?
Oh, that's a lot of questions.
you can make them one.
I can make them one. Where do I see the future going? You know, I really love for us to be able to fix the water licensing system, and I will do my best to try and accomplish that with my influences. I would really love to see municipal water governance being at the top of the budget in all the municipalities, municipal water supply, municipal sanitation, municipal regulation of groundwater, reuse of well-treated sewage water so that we are not so reliant on rain, and that we can become more drought-resistant as a country. So I will continue to be involved in those kinds of projects, and also reducing the non-revenue water, because the less non-revenue water we have, the more water we have available for people who don't currently have. So just keep, you know, doing what we're doing, keep making a noise, keep building our influence, keep changing systems that don't work. And I hope that my legacy is that I'm remembered as, I never backed down from a challenge, and I never didn't call a spade and call something wrong when I saw it wrong. That I tried to fix things wherever I went, that I'm, you know, like a fixer to fix the water systems, whatever I touch, to make it better for the people of my country.
Mm-hmm. From me to you now, thanks very much for taking time talking to us about this very important commodity called water. The commodity is by us, Karsiwor. And each time when I ask you to come and talk to us, you always are available. Now, where can our listeners get hold of CB Sustainable Solutions? Are you on social media platforms?
Yes, we are on LinkedIn, and we are on Facebook, and we are also on Blue Sky. And people can come to our website. That is CBSS, that's Charlie Bravo Sugar. Sugar stands for Karen Bosman Sustainable Solutions. So CBSS.co.za, and all our contact details are there, as well as some of the highlights of the work that we are doing and that we are involved with.
Thank you very much. Geniet jou dag verder.
Thank you, Papa Blouk. You're a star.
Star FM 102.9 megahertz for that very brighter side of you. Onzin kibuisana jalo lene ke Karen Bosman, founder and CEO of CB Sustainable Solutions. Ntirbuisana lene kaha the route traversed by CB Sustainable Solutions in the water sector. Well, Koko, hore e segmente ikiswa jalo ke setlamo, se le nosi, se uka buanka sone, ha buanka meti. Mesone setlamo se kise.
Midvale Water Company is a water services provider that supplies bulk clean water to the mines and the city of Matlosana Municipality. Established in 1954 as a bulk water supplier for the mines in the Vaal Reefs area, Midvale Water has grown to become a formidable player in the water sector. To this end, it has expanded with augmentation of plant areas and distribution zones to include the Greater Klerksdorp, Orkney, Stilfontein and Hartebeesfontein areas, as well as Vierfontein village in the Mokaka local municipality in the Free State. Daily, Midvale Water treats 120 megaliters of water legally drawn from the Vaal River, with 80% of the product supplied to the municipality, while the balance goes to the mining customers. Through its infrastructure, Midvale Water fills the municipal reservoirs with clean water, and the city of Matlosana distributes it to residents and other customers. Midvale Water, your partner in water services delivery. Purified excellence.